This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Kicking off this version of the show, hey everybody, Kate Delaney. I'll tell you what, some things never change. You leave the country for a week and they're still talking about the Mueller report, when it's going to be released, and then the Attorney General's investigation, I think, as to whether there was harassment of the president. What William Barr officially said on the Hill today is that he's got a team reviewing the counterintelligence decisions made by the Justice Department and FBI officials, including the actions they took during the investigation of the Trump campaign in the summer of 2016. So it just keeps on coming. And who knows what you and I will eventually see and how much redaction there's going to be in what is released. And this isn't it. He's not done yet, because on the Hill, he's just gone through one hurdle. The hurdle he went through was the Democratic one. This is testifying before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, and most of those questions, of course, concern the demands from the lawmakers on wanting to know more about the special counsel Robert Mueller's full report and the evidence behind it. Now on Wednesday, follow the bouncing ball, it changes to the Republicans, because Barr will appear before the Republican-led Senate counterpart. So it's going to be the tale of two different kinds of appearances when you talk about the Senate Appropriations Committee. Republican Lindsey Graham, who's a member of that, is already saying he's going to pursue the issue in the Judiciary Committee. He says once we put the Mueller report to bed, once Barr comes to the committee and takes questions about his findings and his actions, and we get to see the Mueller report and consistent with law, then we're going to turn to finding out how this got off the rails. He said that, gosh, about a week and a half ago, and he said that he plans to defer his questions about the Russian investigation until he, you know, Barr actually appears before the Judiciary panel, which is on May 1st. So what comes out of it, if anything? Are we going to find out how that investigation was conducted? I mean, to me, putting together the pieces or hearing who was involved, what was the, with all of the 40 witnesses and the hundreds and thousands of documents that were demanded, what was contained in them, to me, that would be the fascinating thing. To actually be able to be in, to me, to be in Barr's role would be the place I would, that's what I would want. That's the ultimate fly on the wall. And, of course, he's the Attorney General, because he is Yoda. He knows exactly what he has in his hands. So he's the one who can answer the questions of what is the counterintelligence? Was there controversial methods, or was there madness involved in this? Is there things that were missed? I find that hard to believe because of all the witnesses. But how was everything conducted? It is fascinating if you look at it from that perspective, putting the giant puzzle together. Then it is infuriating if you sit where I sit and all of you across the country sit, because I say it's about the buzz in your backyard and mine, and we paid for the Mueller report. You and I paid for it. You know, you just did your taxes. Yeah, that money goes into these investigations, all of that, because we fund the government. Never forget that you and I are footing the bill. So we footed the bill for this lengthy investigation, but we don't see the results of it, and we don't know how people were questioned, how the pieces were put together. It does make a difference. You know, it's like assumptions, and you know what they say about assumptions. We assume one thing because you hear various commentary about it based on rumor, based on people who might have seen the report and leak some information. But then that's all tainted. Imagine having the pureness of being the person right in the middle of it, right in the center of the whole thing. And there's only two people that can claim that. Mueller, who did the investigating because he was leading the team, he heard the witnesses, saw the information, he was on the front line, so he knows the information that was coming in. And then on the other side of it, how that was put into a lengthy report and then handed over, not 100% pure, but pure from the handoff point of view, then the Attorney General would have that other seat to be in. So they're sitting at the heads of the table, two different perspectives, different jobs in this scenario. But in the middle is all the cash that we threw into this to pay for what we just keep hearing rumors about. And that's all we know. Well, we know this happened. We know these witnesses were questioned. We know people are going to do jail time. We saw what happened with Paul Manafort. We know what's happening with Roger Stone. We know about these court appearances, and the list goes on. But we don't have the actual pure information. And wouldn't that be fascinating to have that? It really, really would. All right, speaking of interesting, because there's so many Democrats, can you name them, who are running for president? Senator Bernie Sanders is pledging to release 10 years of his tax returns next week as he is going after the presidency. So he finished second, as we remember, in 2016. He is a self-described socialist and often will take a stand against some of the wealthy Americans and corporations. He's telling the New York Times he will make his returns public, and he's going to do it on tax day. He's just going to release them. Sanders took a punch at the president, saying his returns are going to be a little more boring than the president's, who he called a billionaire with investments in Saudi Arabia, wherever he has investments, all over the world, is what he said. So the Times did ask, as they were talking to Bernie Sanders, about his status as a millionaire. And he said, I wrote a best-selling book. If you write a best-selling book, you can be a millionaire, too. And speaking of best-selling books, Michelle Obama, her book came out in November. Becoming is the name of her book. And her book is on pace to sell 10 million copies. It would be the best-selling memoir of all time. So if it's the best-selling memoir of all time, Bernie Sanders is a millionaire because he had a book that sold well. What would Michelle Obama be? Isn't that wild to think about? And it is an epic tome, too. It's 448 pages. And it's just fascinating to see where that's landed versus presidential candidates and also presidents who have written books, including her husband, who has another one that's coming out perhaps before the end of this year, I think. So will the president, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, will the president release his tax returns? It certainly doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So Bernie Sanders is using that to say, listen, I'm releasing it. He's not releasing his, but I'm releasing mine. So there you go. Hey, coming up next, a little fair or foul. You don't want to miss it as we talk about some of the interesting things that are buzzing across the land. Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
That's when I invite Andy B. to step up and do a little of this stuff with me called, like I said, Fair or Is It Foul? So, Andy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Because, what, gas is in $4 in Minneapolis, right?
Nope. Gas is in $4. The sun's been out for a little while. We're looking at a blizzard on Thursday, though, which stinks, but... it is what it is.
So I asked you about gas on purpose because I was just reading a story earlier today that they say Monday is the best day to fill up because it's usually cheaper. Friday is the worst day, which kind of makes sense because it's the weekend. So if you're going to see a spike, that might be when it happens. They say drivers who fill up on Friday could save $20 to $30 more a year by switching to Monday. That's according to Gas Buddy. And Tuesday is the best, cheapest day to do it because the national average price of gas peaks on Fridays and Saturdays. They're the worst days, and Sunday is the worst day, too, so all the weekend days. So do you follow that? Are you really good? Like, I'm going to fill up earlier in the week because I'm not going to run out of gas and have to pay more.
No. My way of saving money is just by not driving very much. But
like,
you know,
I'm not going to drive.
I didn't know that. I really only drive to work. Besides that, I either take cabs or I'll bike or walk. But I didn't know that, and I'm going to maybe pay more attention to filling up on Tuesdays when I do need to.
Yeah, so I say it's fair because I didn't know that either. I just go by, sorry, everybody listening, my life is so pulled all over just like yours.
Wait, let me guess. Do you run it to empty and then fill up whenever?
Exactly.
That's what I do, too.
Exactly. I mean, I'm like almost on fumes, and it infuriates my husband because he's like, you know, why do you wait? Why do you wait so long to fill up? That's not good. That's dangerous. Dangerous? Okay.
In Minnesota,
we live in an urban area. I can get gas.
In Minnesota, in the wintertime, you can't let your tank go past a quarter because then you might accidentally get moisture in your fuel lines, and then it could crack.
Another reason I couldn't live in Minnesota. I'd be terrible then. I'd be calling you up, Andy, I can't get to the studio. Can you come pick me up on your bicycle so I can get there in time for the show?
My tandem bicycle.
Tandem. Have you ever ridden on a tandem bicycle?
I tried one time, and my friend and I couldn't get it to work, so we just posed on it and then put it back.
It's hard. I've done a tandem bicycle down at the Jersey Shore on one of the longest boardwalks in Wildwood Crest, but it usually leads to arguments because somebody wants to go faster, and it's a very weird feeling.
Yeah.
Very weird. Yeah. All right. Did you know this? They say the average cost of retirement is $738,400. So my question is, do you think you're going to have enough for it? And do you think that figure's right, Andy? Fair or foul?
Could you elaborate a little bit more? What does that mean? Like the price?
So what you'd have to have that amount of money before you retire. You need that pre-retirement income. So your house would have to be paid off, all that kind of stuff. And to be able to live where you can survive, meaning health care costs, all that kind of stuff, if you have in your accounts, your golden egg is at least $738,400, you could make it. You could if you prepare for that. And that's a figure, by the way, that's according to Fidelity's retiree health care cost estimate.
I plan on having more. I don't want to.
I like that. I plan on having more.
That doesn't sound like enough.
Okay, so I say, you're saying foul. I say foul too. I don't think that sounds like enough money either.
No, that sounds like they're saying after you retire, you're supposed to just like live in a hole and eat a slice of bread every day.
No, I think I agree with you because you can get illnesses even if you're healthy, and then by the time you figure everything out. You know, depending on even whatever house you live in, you have expenses of the house. It doesn't matter if it's paid off. Something happens with the roof. Something happens with your health. Something happens with a car, transportation. I mean, who knows? I think you need more than $1 million. I think you need $2 million. If I was saying bare
well,
bones,
I
could live comfortable.
So
you don't think you need $2 million? I think you need. I do. I think you need. Let's put it this way. I think you need well over $1 million.
Didn't you say the study said 38,000?
No, 700.
Oh, 700,000?
700. You know, 700. I forget what the exact numbers. I just said it. 738 something.
Oh. Yeah,
$738,400.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. I thought you said $38,000.
Yeah, that would be foul. Yeah, $38,000. You're not living on that.
No.
I think you need more than $1 million. I do.
Yeah, you're probably right. And stuff.
I mean, because that's just a little bit more. But it's who knows? I mean, maybe things will be cheaper. Maybe something will happen, and we'll actually care about older people and help them out in our communities.
Yeah, maybe. I'll probably have to sell my house and stop spending money on pinwheels and beer. save a little bit better.
Well, that's the whole thing. How are you figuring out the retirement thing? It's a weird deal, right? Because when you're younger, no matter where that younger falls, even 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it is, you think you're fine and you're going to have a chance to catch up and it's going to be okay. You're not even thinking about retirement. That's honestly, I think for a lot of people, that's what it is. You just don't think about it.
When I was younger,
right?
My dad would take me on like work rides and stuff, and I met a lot of people that were in retirement age that just never stopped working. And it wasn't because they had to. I think it was just because...
they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, they just didn't want to be a lump.
Idle.
Or idle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, too. And I kind of feel like I would be that way. I think I couldn't sit still. It would be too hard for me. But, you know, who knows? I don't see me painting somewhere by water. I don't see that. All right. Hey, last one.
Right.
I'm going to say this, that... I definitely am about technology now because bigger, better, faster with what we do. It's, you just saw I was in Ireland and I was sending you stuff back. So, and you were processing it, and it's amazing what you can do on an iPhone and what you can do through other technological advancements. And in Ireland, they do in some areas have really good and fast internet. AT&T says they're expanding their mobile 5G rollout with 7 new cities. So now they've got 19 cities, and this is supposed to be the baddest of the bad, that it'll just make your head spin how good it is. So what do you think? Is it hype? Is it good? Is it, what is it, fair or foul?
Fair.
Fair because it's just more improved technology?
Yeah. I mean, why not? There are a couple things I wish wouldn't be happening with technology, but better connectivity for people seems like a good idea. The development of AI to the point of where it can breed itself doesn't seem like a good idea.
No kidding.
But, you know, wireless phone service sounds good.
I agree with you. The AI to me, you have to be really careful with. I mean, if you've got what's it called, Alexa in your house, I swear Alexa spies on you. Because you'll see it kind of just, we have one, and you'll see it kind of buzzing, and if you'd be in another room saying something and it answers a question, like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, what was that, 2001 A Space Odyssey, the name HAL, it is actually funny, how they came up with the name HAL is, if you go up each one of those letters in the alphabet, H-I- A B L M spells IBM. Did you know that?
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, it's not. I'll just go with it. I mean, if that's
like,
how
I'll
we
just
all
go with it.
That's
if we
how
all
it
agree
ends,
on it. Yeah, do we
ends
all agree that's how it ends? We all agree, so we're good with it. I don't, it's, you know, in talking about that, is it's fair or foul? It's just a sticky line. And how far does it go? You know, you do. That's why you have to pay attention, because how far do you want it to go? And the answer is, you know, nobody wants Big Brother. Nobody wants everyone to know everything. And nobody wants to get caught in a situation where something is exaggerated or information is manipulated. And that's the era we live in. Where's the information coming from, and what can it be used for? That's the key. All right, stay with us. We're taking you back to Ireland. Coming up on the flip side.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
New York is one of a handful of states dealing with a serious outbreak of measles. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced a public health emergency and ordered mandatory vaccinations in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn.
We have a situation now where children are in danger. We have to take this seriously.
He said there are fines for unvaccinated kids for up to $1,000. WCBS-TV, Jenna DeAngelis.
Ordering mandatory vaccinations in Williamsburg is an attempt by the city to put an end to this crisis. There have been 285 confirmed cases in Brooklyn and Queens since the outbreak began in October. Most involve those in the Orthodox Jewish community. If a Williamsburg yeshiva opens its doors to children not vaccinated against the measles, the health department warns it could result in violations or school closure.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This topic and this book, I think, really addresses something that gets to the core of talking about the economic aspects of socialism, the concepts, the theories, the attempts in history to implement socialistic economic systems. And it's so interesting, and especially in the United States, it's so interesting because I just got back from Ireland and I had a heavy conversation about this with an authority there, and so it's perfect timing to have Phil Bryson on with us because his book is all about that: socialism, origins, expansion, decline, and attempted revival in the United States. Phil, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And you heard what I said there about what I think you really address so well. So I guess the first question is, this is a big, big undertaking when you talk about socialism and the wheel around it and how it was implemented, wasn't implemented, what its effects are, that kind of thing. So when you look at part one, how tough was that to research and pull this all together?
It took about 40 years. In 1961, I was living in Berlin when the Berlin Wall was built. I saw the concrete, the barbed wire, read the newspapers about people getting shot trying to escape to West Berlin. So I went home to the United States to continue my studies in economics, hoping to find out why a country has to build a wall to keep its people in. And I took courses in Marxism and went on for a PhD in economics at Ohio State. And I taught economics for over 40 years, and all of it was about economic systems, international trade, and finance. So after after I retired and we got a new president, and he announced his desire to transform our country completely, I thought I should tell a little bit about what I know about that. And I published a lot and wrote a lot and traveled a lot. I've seen socialism in many different forms, and it never works.
There you go. That's the statement. It never works. And there's people that are listening to this that are saying, he's absolutely right. They don't know why, but they feel like you're right. And there's others that are listening saying, oh, no, this is the direction that we should go in. Why doesn't it work?
Well, there are two basic sort of fatal problems of socialism in its very nature. Two things. It wants to nationalize industry. It wants to take the whole private sector of the country, all the businesses, all the consumer decisions, and have control over all of those by planning and organizing all of the businesses, making them public businesses rather than private businesses. It's simply an overreach. You can have the biggest bureaucracy in the world, as the Soviets almost did and as we now do, and it still won't begin to handle all the tasks. You've got to figure out, if you're going to run the economy, how many women's handkerchiefs should be produced in California, and how many of those should be marketed in Harmony, Maine? How many Super Bowls should you produce in Texas, and then how many of those should be marketed in Valley City, North Dakota? We have individuals who decentralize their own plans, all these millions of businesses and consumers who know exactly what they want to do. They're told by the government, can't do it anymore, we're going to organize it, we're going to plan it, we'll send you the orders, we'll send you the prices, we'll send you the quantities, we'll tell you how many workers you can hire. And it's an overreach of phenomenal proportions, such that it simply bogs down. It cannot function. Even with a great, huge bureaucracy, and we know when you have a huge bureaucracy that it doesn't always work well. Think a minute about the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, when they tried to put that online and make it available for everybody. It was a disaster. So they've never been able to figure out how to make that work. The second big problem is the financial one. People think, and it's a lovely thought, that we've got these billionaires out there, and all we have to do is get them to take the money they can't possibly spend and spread it around, give it to people. That causes a few heartaches on the part of the people who are giving up so much of their wealth. But there's another huge problem with that, and that is that there is a large pool of funds of people, not only the billionaires, but the people that are relatively affluent, like many of us are. And we put that money aside to save for the future, to give to our children, and to do whatever we want with it in the future. But we put it available to people who want to use it to invest in new ideas, new technologies, new products, new innovations. And on the basis of those things, the economy grows and prospers. If you take all of that money, that pool, and you give it to socialist spending projects, that huge amount of money is no longer available for investment, growth, new technologies, new firms, new ideas, and growth screeches to a halt.
Wow. Now, so let me stop you for a second. So listening to you, it's so fascinating, talking about the economic turn of this and that pool of money. And now we're in an era where there's a big push for, and you said, a technology and entrepreneurism. Would socialism kill entrepreneurism then?
It does. It destroys it because it takes the ownership away from the entrepreneur, gives it to a government-owned firm managed by a hired person who isn't paid to make a profit. He's paid to act like a bureaucrat. Incentives are distorted. The information is distorted. The drive and the funds available for investment are gone because they'll be used on the many spending projects. If you look at the projects that are now being proposed in the United States by socialists, those projects they think will be financed by billionaires. But if you took, say, a figure like $600,000 and say that's the bottom, everybody who makes $600,000 or more, we will not tax their income at 70% or anything else. We'll take it all. We'll take all that income of all those people, it would not start to meet the demands of these spending programs that are being suggested. There simply aren't that many rich, and they're not that rich that there's that much money. I have a website, and it's called socialismsissuesrevealed.com. And at Socialism's Issues Revealed, I have a number of blogs, and I have a couple of blogs on the current proposals by AOC and others for spending. And I go through a sort of back-of-the-envelope calculation to show that we don't have nearly enough money to do those kinds of things. It just is not out there.
And what did you find? I wanted to ask you this too, because in your book, and I want to tell everyone to get the book on Amazon. It's called Socialism: Origins, Expansion, Decline, and Attempted Revival in the United States. And we're speaking to Phil Bryson. And what's so interesting about Phil is he's got 40 years in putting this book together. So you were going to go where the book took you. If you found out that socialism, when you did this heavy research and took these courses and taught, led you in a different direction, that's what you would have revealed, right?
That's right. That's correct. And I do have numerous publications. I've published about 10 books and many articles in scholarly journals. But the putting together this book came after President Obama announced that he wanted to transform our economy, and I had studied his background and his interests. He was well-trained in Marxism, and he was acting as a socialist community organizer when he ran for the Senate. But that whole background I have been working on, and so I had notes from my career and many articles. They were not written for the general public. They were written for a scholarly audience. So I thought this is time to write a book for the non-economist, for the voter, the citizen. And it took me about 4 years to pull the material together and write it. I think it has received some very nice reviews. They're on the back of the cover and in the inside of the book, which give me very high praise for the book. So I think I did get it into a language that's not meant just for specialists.
Yes, see, and that was my point to everybody listening to this audience. It's so well done. So congratulations on that. We have a minute left, Phil. What do you hope, succinctly, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that they will get the, number one, the idea that their wonderful objective, who isn't for eliminating poverty, and who doesn't want a society that's at least reasonably egalitarian, that everybody has a chance. But I hope that people will see that the government hasn't the means to take care of everybody in the fashion in which we hope they can live, and that they will find that they can work hard and study and get career training and organize their finances and save and invest and do all the things that are here available for us to do now in a free country. And privilege of freedom, that it will be totally enjoyable and experienced by all, and that they will move forward, that actions, along with government safety nets, that will have private actions that will help
work
those who
better.
Are disadvantaged.
Yeah.
So that we do it as a free people, from our own volition, our own will, and our own love of our neighbor.
Yes, that's a perfect place to end this. Phil Bryson, thank you so much for joining us. Pick up his book. Thank you.
It's
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hughes, and my mind is blown. I'm thinking about getting a border collie,
yes.
And I'm also thinking about Pete and the way they do it here in Ireland. So we're going to talk to...
The old-fashioned name is turf.
Turf.
Yes.
Yes, just like the horses riding on the turf.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a particular type of I don't know, what would you call it? It's not a soil. It's actually something apart, and we call it turf. It can be harvested for use, and it has been down the centuries in Ireland for use as a means of heating the home and the boiling the water and generally keeping everybody warm and all that.
But, and the area where we are, you can't use machines, and why is that?
Yeah, because it's called an SAC. It's a special area of conservation, and the government or the EU have put a ruling on it whereby you're not allowed to cut this. The little insects that are in the ground and whatnot are more important, it would seem, than the people. So you have got a special dispensation. You can go in and cut it in the old-fashioned Irish way with a sleighan, a special implement that's used for cutting turf. You cannot put in the modern machine now that goes in, tramples all over the bog, and causes damage to those little creatures that are in the bog and the birds that are nesting on the bog area that nest on the ground.
So in using the slaying and doing it that way, and families getting pieces, little chunks of area that they were allotted,
yes.
How much would a typical family use?
A typical family would use maybe what we would call a 10 by 6 trailer load of turf. They would probably use 3 to 4 of those in the year. That would be the equivalent of 100 bags of turf. That if you bag the turf, you would probably have, I'm sorry, 1,000 bags of turf. So each family would make sure that they had more than enough to sustain them for the winter. You would cut, if you thought you'd use 4 trailer loads of turf, you would probably cut 5 or 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what would that go for if you were buying it in the store?
If you were buying it in the store, the bag of turf would cost you 4 euros. The trailer load of turf would probably, with 140 bags on it, would cost you 350 delivered to your store where you were putting it at home.
Wow. And there's something else that's very unique about you. You are known as the dog, I'm going to call you the dog guru, because you take these border collies and train them, and we're talking about the sheep because we're on a sheep farm.
Yes, yeah, you're on a big sheep farm, one of the biggest, well, probably in the highest in probably the top 15 farms in Ireland, here in Glenkeen Farm. And they would be running maybe around 650 breeding ewes. And we have 3 border collies, all homebred. We have a Holly and Liz and Jill, and Holly is the matriarch herself, and Jill is 2 years old, Liz is about 5 years old, and they work on the farm. They're highly trained, highly skilled sheepdogs for collecting and driving big numbers of sheep.
Wow, and so when you train the sheepdogs, what are the directions? What do you? I can't even imagine that.
But what we do with the dog, we start off the dog in a small area with a small number of sheep, maybe 4, 5, 6, no more than 6 sheep. And we train the dog, we put the dog walking on the left-hand side, and we say, come by, Holly. Keep saying, come by, and walking to the left. And the next thing you see the dog wanting to go from you on this come by, which is go to the left. We switch the dog to the right-hand side, and we say, away, Holly. And you keep walking on the right, and the sheep are moving from you. And the dog is, the next thing the dog starts to go, and go right. The dog is on a lead. And then when you see the dog inclined to do it, you let the lead go and the dog goes off around the sheep in a small area. And when they learn that, then you say, come back into foot and put him, come by. And when he starts going left and right, then you can take him out of the small area and move him into a bigger area. And slowly but surely, the dog is learning to go a distance. He can go 300, 400, 500 yards eventually.
How do they know when they're finished, when the day's done? And
when the day is done, you just say, that'll do. And the dog stops working.
Oh, I'd love to say that to my husband. That'll do.
Yes.
That'll
and
do.
That he'd come back and do what he's told.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what if you say, that'll do, Holly, or Liz, or Jill, and they come straight back to your foot.
Wow.
Yeah, and then when you have them trained on the verbal command, we switch to a whistle command. So you pick a whistle sound, and for the left and for the right. And you, what you do is then, in order to get the dog on to the whistle sound, you give the verbal command and the whistle command at the same time. Verbal, whistle, verbal, whistle. And the next thing you'll find that the dog is moving even better on the whistle command. And you can leave out the verbal command. And it saves the old guy himself from bawling and roaring. And also it's given the perfect sound every time to the dog. Whereas if you're given the voice command and the dog is doing something wrong, you're bellowing like a bull. And so the dog is getting a more even command each time.
How many dogs do you think you've trained in your life?
Oh my goodness, I'd have to say hundreds of dogs. You know.
Hundreds?
Well, I would say so, yes, because I've been training for, oh my goodness, I've been training for 20 odd years.
When you were a kid, did you know you'd end up loving this and doing this?
I didn't, but I always had a hankering. I was born in a little town called Newport. I didn't have enough of grass to grow an onion, but I had a hankering for farming all the time. And when I would look out the window in the morning after getting up, I would see the neighbor's cows and another neighbor's bullocks or females, and I always had a hankering for it. And then I met my wife, and when we decided to get married, they said, you can have the little farm along with us. Yeah. So when I got the wife, I got the farm along with her.
Wow, was it hard to learn the profession, though, because you didn't grow up with it?
No, but any time ever I could get work when I was a youngster, I worked on a farm. And I worked on a farm after school and for summer holidays with a guy, and he had no dog. So George had to do the running. So I said to him, John, I says, I'm going to have to get a dog. I says, so I got a pup from an uncle of mine and trained it up, and it was a super dog.
Wow.
Yeah, and his name was Glenn, and when I was leaving him to go on to bigger things, the dog wanted to come along with me. He was so fond. We had got such a relationship, the two of us. And eventually he did leave home, the dog did, from the farm. And when I looked in my shed at the back of the house, the dog was there waiting for me. So I had to have him taken back again because I didn't have any work. I was going on to do interior decoration and painting and that. So there was no work for the dog. So he went back to the farmer again, and then he settled in. He says, well, it's going to have to change, and he stayed with John for so long now.
Wow, and so these dogs become like family, so it's probably hard to lose them.
It is. You get a very, very a huge bond with the dog, especially, you see, when you're able to go to a field, walk up the center of the field, and have the dog go right or go left, and all the sheep are landed at your feet. You know, if you look for 10 men to do that, you'd have a lot of bad language before you'd have them all landed at your feet, where the dog will do it just literally because he wants to do it.
Boy, no kidding.
Yeah, he just really wants to please. And he would work himself to death to please you.
And the sheep, this is a rhythm of this area. The sheep know it. They know they're the dog, they're herded, they do.
They know the power of the dog, you see. The power of the dog is in the eye of the dog. And the dog is able to command his sheep with his eyes. And if you've seen our dogs out there working, even when they're not working and they're left sitting down there while there's a different one working, they never take their eyes off the sheep. And every move the sheep make, the dog's eyes travel with the movement. They want to go out and stop it going that way or this way. So it's just a natural ability they have. And there's something that you couldn't buy in a dog. We wouldn't sell our dogs for £10,000 here because you had no business going up the hill without them.
Wow.
So they're worth a small fortune.
What do you hope, this is being broadcast to Americans, what do you hope Americans, what do you want them to know about this area? Why should they come and visit?
Well, I would say that they would see something that they have never realized was in it, that we are so unspoiled here. We are so undersold here in this area, in Glenkeen and in the Lewisburg area, compared to, say, the Killarneys, which are lovely in their own right, but they're so commercialized compared to here. We're something to behold here, and we would love to see them come and visit us, and we give them every one of them a key of the meal of fortune, and that's 100,000 welcomes.
100,000 welcomes.
Yeah, key of the meal of fortune. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, do you speak Irish, Gaelic?
I spoke Irish fluently when I was young, going to school a long time ago. But I have a little bit of Irish now. I can have little sayings in Irish, and I have I can speak to you, key of the meal of fortune, Tá fáilte rath, which means you're welcome. You know, and key of the meal of fortune, as I just said, is 100,000 welcomes, you know. I'll just say, you'd say something like, Gomeramid Bio Eranam Shaharish. That's to say, it's an old Irish goodwill message that I hope we'll all be in as good a health and happiness this time again.
That's a perfect sentiment to end on, George. What a pleasure. Thank you for spending time with me.
It's been a pleasure with you.
Thank you.
And I welcome everybody from America. All that can come, come and see me. Georgie Porgy is the nickname. Yeah.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.